Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello and welcome to the SC Playbook Question and Answer Podcast ahead of NRL Supercoach Round 2. Tim Williams on deck, as always, to take the questions from the SC Playbook subscribers WhatsApp chat. Keen to get stuck into it this week. Of course, I'll be dropping my updated trade and skipper plans, my sit V starts, all that good oil as well, heading into round two. Now, let's get stuck straight into it. And it's a good question from Matty O, who gets straight into the big topic of the week, being front row forward, asking, says, "Hey, legend, love having Supercoach back, don't we all, Matty boy? Have Arrow and Lemieux, want to bring in Terrell May and one of Flegler or Jensen? Also considering a boost for cash generation, firm or Talaibut, question mark. Fascinating and difficult position, the old front row forward slot. Look, the way I see it, more than happy to see people going early on May. I think that's fine. I'm considering doing similar. I'll get to my trades at the back end of the show, but I think that's fine. What is not fine, and there's a lot of unpredictability around, is the rotations and the minutes of a lot of these forwards that, and you know, you mentioned a couple of them there. So, ideally speaking, I think you want to have a look at all of these guys again. Terrell May, for one, came on and there was injuries to both back rows in that game. It impacted the rotations of the entire Roosters forward pack. May came on about the 26th minute, played the game out because of injuries and because he was going like a beast. He played so well. I'm not concerned that even if he does play a few less minutes that he won't score well, namely at his price, at 430K. I think he's a great buy regardless. But again, ideally, you still want to have a look. Jabari Hargreaves back as well. All that being said, I think he's a fine buy this week, someone that I'm big time eyeing off. On to the other guys, Tommy Flegler. Start with Flegler, who at the Dolphins last week, Ray Stone failed the HIA, didn't finish the game. Pinelli Lemuelu on the edge failed to finish the game due to injury. Flegler went on to play 53 minutes. Look, probably inflated a little bit. I'm actually somewhat concerned that, you know, potentially didn't get more minutes because of those injuries. All that being said, I think his regular game time is probably going to be 45 to 50 anyway. He had a try. He had a line break last week. I do think he will be a relative. He's one of the safer pickups at front row because we know he's a gun and we know he's going to get decent minutes week in, week out at the Dolphins, particularly after a poor start where they need him and a couple of other seniors in the team to lift. So I don't mind the Flegler play, but the issue is the bye next week. So we're all struggling to get two decent starting front rows on the field. People are scrapping to get one in and they're willing to go early this week as a result of it. I assume you don't probably have three good front rows there. If you do, maybe it's okay, but I want to see the minutes of this Dolphins pack. Josh Kerr being another one who people are really keen on, who definitely played inflated minutes last week. Again, scored a try with a line break. You might be stuck playing a Sam Hughes or someone again next week with the bye. So, look, I think Flegler and Kerr are both wait and sees. Could both be great buys, but I think they're round four buys round four pickups because of the round three buy, I should say. On to Corey Jensen. Again, over in Vegas, Brendan Piakura got HIA'd and failed to finish the game, played about 3 minutes, if that. That sent Pat Carrigan to the edge, which meant Corey Jensen played bigger minutes in the middle along with a few other forwards. Like, Pat Carrigan is normally a 65-minute forward through the middle. We just want to see his game time. Averaged 38 minutes last year. he's a nut trucker. He's a plodder. There won't be tackle busts. There won't be offloads. And look, at 413K, that's fine if he gets extended minutes. From 38 last year, he probably needs to be playing 44, 45 minutes per game to warrant buying and to generate, you know, 100-odd K in cash. He can do a job in the meantime, and he very well may be, but I just want to see it happen again. He definitely won't play those minutes, but again, he played 56, so that was huge. He had 59 in base, outstanding. Could be a good buy, but he could also come out this week and play 40 minutes and be on par with last year and just generate no cash for you. So, look, I think he's one that I'd want to be waiting on again. I understand people short in front row, but, you know, using a trade to get these players in, all for what, potentially an extra 10, 20 points this week. Trade is worth, I've always said, as a complete ballpark figure, it's worth a minimum 100K. They're worth so much. So, you know, that's more of a cash generation related reference to it, but 20 points, a trade is definitely not worth 20 points for 1 week when you're taking a bit of a gamble on his minutes. Good start there. About 4 minutes on front rollers, but I reckon I've probably knocked off about 40 of the questions that were going to be around those similar sort of players. Part two, Fermor to Leibart. Not for me. Again, this could be an outstanding trade next week. But what happens if Leibart comes out and gets 30 this week? There's every chance. And he gets one really good price rise because of that ton from last week, and then that drops out of his three-round rolling average straight after round three, and that break-even skyrockets. Now, I rate Leibart as a player. Was excited to see him come out and kill it against a very leaky Dolphins outfit on the weekend. So probably going to be a good buy and a good cash cow from next week. But seriously, if he comes out and, you know, not even necessarily stinks it up NRL-wise, but Supercoach-wise and scores poorly, he all of a sudden becomes probably not a buy next week. So, look, it's a one-game sample size. Can he back it up? Maybe he can. On Fermor, I understand the trade there. It's something that I'm going to avoid, but I did flirt with. Look, the appeal on Fermor was that he was going to be playing outside Kieran Foran, who's one of the best halves in the competition at putting his back row into space, creating that space. Fermor's a great line runner. There's attacking upside. He didn't have Foz last week. So I think we picked him for great reason. He's discounted having not played last year due to an ACL injury. He was terrific the season before. So, look, I'm wanting to stick with Fermor for another game. That being said, if you're pretty happy with your 25-man squad and you need to generate a bit of cash somewhere, I don't mind the idea of Fermor being traded, because if he comes out and averages 40 to 45, well, there's not going to be much cash generated and not much point of having him. So I can see why you do it, but at this stage, I'm wanting to give him one more week. Of course, Titans on the bye this week, so that being round three. Question from the horse. Hey, mate, Moses injury worrying me, plus also playing Panthers. Likely to have a very high break even next week, so I'm trading. Do you recommend Lomax, Hunt, or Sam Walker, or bite the bullet boosting to get Cleary? Ooh, it's a tough one because none of the replacements excite me for Mitchie Moses if you are indeed selling. And Cleary looks the obvious one, you know, biting the bullet, doing it. But like, you're doing it on the basis that, you know, Moses scores poorly against Penrith and has a high break even and looks set to drop a ton of money. If Cleary scores poorly against Parramatta, who in recent years in regular season games, be it in Penrith or Para, have like, they've got a better record than Penrith in those fixtures, obviously not including finals where the Panthers have walloped them. So if he comes out and scores poorly, then that's Cleary. His break-even is going to be enormous. Like, people will be looking at potentially selling him if he scores another 30 or 40 because of the money, you know, that can be generated around that one. So, look, man, mate, it is tough, very much personal circumstances. I don't feel great saying this, but of the options, you know, as I mentioned, that the 34, whatever Cleary got in round one, that'll drop out of his rolling three-round rolling average straight away after round three. I'd be back in the pedigree, and look, I'd just pay up and get Nathan Cleary. Ben Hunt, he's never been a great Supercoach player. Maybe this year with Flano taking over a bit of the organising, freeing up his running game, the Dragons looking a bit better. He scores well, but not for me. Sam Walker was okay in Vegas. He's probably my pick of them guys. And do you recommend Lomax? So I like Lomax as a buy. I'm just not really sure how you're doing this with your duels. You might have maybe Drury Hutchinson at 5'8", who'd be shifting to halfback. Strange from centre to 5'8", Lomax into CT Dub. That could be how you're doing it. In which case, you know, Lomax looks like a great buy and probably better buy than Hunt and Sam Walker, but the value of that is Lomax at CT Dub. You then have Drew Hutchinson or the like, I'm assuming, in your second halfback spot, which becomes, you know, not ideal, such a high-scoring important spot. So, look, mate, took me a while to get there, but I would just be getting Nathan Cleary, I think. Question from Tyson Jones. Morning, Timmy. Morning, Tyson. I'm also going to be putting the VC on Hines this week, hopefully a 150 game incoming. But if he fails, I'm stuck on who to put the C on. It's either going to be Drinkwater or Ponga. Who would you pick? So for those who, if you didn't listen to any of the podcasts during the week, you're catching up with the Q&A before you get your team sorted for the weekend. My plan with skippers this week is to put the vice-captain on Nico Hines. If he can go even 100-plus, I want to save this to the end of the podcast because it's directly to do with my trades as well. But VC will be Nico Hines. In terms of captains of Drinky or Ponga, I would lean towards Ponga. I think just the big factor there is the goal-kicking. Look, I think the Knights, after a really dismal round one showing, they'll lift, they'll bounce back from that. I think they can win this game. I will be tipping the Cowboys because they were really impressive in round one. But Ponga looked good, didn't get a lot of quality balls, still got his 50-odd, had a try assist taken back a little bit controversially. Adding the goal kicking, fired up Knights side, I'd be going Ponga. That being said, mate, Cowboys looked elite last week, so I'll leave that to you. But yeah, Ponga for me. Question from Rowan. Just wondering, is it too early to go Firmor to KPP? KPP being Kai Pierce-Paul, the big rangy Englishman. I loved how KPP looked game one, and Fifita could be back next round on that left edge. So I believe Fifita was meant to be out maybe a little bit longer. That being said, with the round two bye for the Titans, I think they were saying the word was round four, maybe round five. But look, they could have rested him through round one with the eye to obviously giving him round two off with the bye to coming back round three. I still think Firmall's solid enough on the right edge. Obviously, we want him outside Foz, but yeah, Fifita coming back, if it was on the left, wouldn't be ideal for Firmall. I mentioned before that I don't mind Firmall as a trade. As for Kai Pierce-Paul at 345K, I don't get it. And he could play big minutes this week, probably does. Could score really well. I actually love him as a one-week super coach play. You know, he's running at Chad Townsend. I think he's on, you know, he's on the stronger edge at the Knights, that left edge. Beautiful place to be outside Kalen Ponga. But, you know, round one, he was named on the bench. He played 40 minutes. That was because of an injury to Inari Tuala. He came on and got 40 minutes. Could have been less. You know, he's unproved, completely unproven in the NRL. He did look good. 33 in base in that time. You know, he's got a good offload. He's got tackle busting. He's going to be a feature in Supercoach teams this season, potentially from next week. But Dylan Lucas is out with HIA. If Dylan Lucas comes back next, well, he will come back next week, we'd imagine. Starts on the edge, piece balls on the bench. He could play 30 minutes. And then, you know, he could lose money from there. So it's a one-week play, sure, but that's not how Supercoach works. I just don't see why there's too much. It's risk v reward. I don't think the reward's there. Like if he plays 80 this week, kills it, Lucas comes back next week and Pierce-Paul starts again, just pick him up then, risk-free. I don't really see the appeal of going early on KPP. Question from Paul Catteran. G'day, mate. Would it be worth trading out Adam Elliott to Zach Lomax? Lomax looks good this year and Elliott just sort of did his job. Bit underwhelming, but not too fast. Never really sure. Love Adzi, but, and I said this, I think, on last week's podcast, I don't know what the appeal was. Like, he's averaged 53 minutes last year, averaged 52 minutes the year before, and came out last week and played 52 minutes with injuries that potentially, I think 50 minutes will be where he plays all year, but potentially some inflated minutes last week. So, he scored 38 with 38 in base. That's what Adzi will do. So, yeah, I mean, moving on from that, because you've already said you're not that keen on him, so apologies. But yeah, if you can turn him into Zach Lomax, again, one game sample size, Zach Lomax, the Dragons, he looked great, enormous work ethic, kicking goals. Dragons look terrific. I want to see Lomax do it again. I want to see the Dragons do it again. But look, even if the Dragons don't fire up and aren't putting too many points on, he's still going to bust tackles. I think from the wing, he'll have that work ethic most weeks. So I don't mind the early play on it. I personally definitely want to see another week of it. But look, if you can get Adam Elliott to him, massive pod play, why not? Question from Jack Lunn. Thoughts on big Tommy Hazelton, the Goulburn Stockman. 358K front row forward. Points per minute last year, 1.5 to 1.6. I am looking at his PPM last year and it's telling you 1.41, so not that good, but sorry, very good, but it wasn't 1.5 to 1.6 on what I'm looking at. In a tough match where Sharks were dominated in the majority of stats, where he had 14 runs for 140 metres with 52 post contact metres, one tackle rate, 20 tackles, two missed, priced on a 35, scoring 45. Good stats, mate. I love you, Tommy Hazelton. I think the issue for me with all the Sharks forwards, four middle forward bench. I can't see him getting more than 40 minutes at this stage unless that bench changes and they put a utility back on there to add some time to the middles. He looks like he is an impact bench player. Like anything, you've just got to be careful when weighing up PPMs, the points per minute of players from seasons prior in shorter game time. Like, he went 1.41 last year in 25 minutes per game. In his 140-minute game this year, he's gone at 1.1, so it's dropped dramatically. So if he's to go at sort of 1 point per minute and he plays 40 minutes per game, he's averaging 40. You're not getting much out of that. So I think Tommy, you know, probably needs 45 to 50 minutes, which in that current Sharks side is not going to happen unless something changes. Look, keep a close eye on him this week. If he comes out and kills it, happy days. But, you know, you could make a very similar case for Oregon Kafusi, who is at 342K. 44 minutes last week, 40 points, 42 in base, super similar stats. You know, he only averaged 38 minutes last year, so he would need more of an increase. I'm not saying Kafusi is appealing, but same thing, just I don't think the minutes are probably going to be there. Could be wrong. Hope I'm wrong, because if I am, I'll jump on him later on. Question from Benny Bagshaw. Is it worth going early on Tommy Talau to free up trade spots for round 3-4? If so, who out of Fermor, Salmon, Hutchinson, or Bostock, would you trade? Yeah, this is going to be a big one for a lot of people, and it's also relevant to me and my trades. I think Tommy Talau is a good buy and a relatively safe buy. Lands on the right wing for Manly. There's going to be a lot of attacking opportunities there. Jason Saab out for 6 weeks, hamstring injury. Job security is okay. Not great, but okay. They've got Raymond Vega there as well, who could come in at any week if Talau doesn't cut the mustard. I think it's an easy one. If you're doing it to free up a trade for round 3 or 4 because you see him as being an inevitable trade in, but you don't necessarily need the extra cash or whatever, don't do it. Wait till see how he goes. On top of that, you know, they're playing the Roosters this week. They're a good team. They'll defend well. Tommy could score all right, but you don't need him this week. I get the idea of freeing up a trade spot for round 3 and 4, particularly round 3 being such an important trade week. Look, we've got boosts available. I think round 3 is a great time to boost, so you should have 3 available anyway if you want them or if you need them. Now, the difference is if you're freeing up money like I am, if I may or may not be getting Talau in, but say you're one of these people moving like Palacia, like myself, to Terrell May, trying to do that. I can't do it in one hit. I need to free up a bit of cash. So on that, you know, Talau looks a decent play and I get it. You need to free up the cash to make it happen. But that's different to doing it just to free up a trade for next week. So that's how I see it. Anyway, you've gone on to say, if so, who out of Fermor, Salmon, Hutchinson or Bostock would you trade? I'd hold Hutchinson for now. I think starting halfback, see what the Dogs can produce. I'd hold Fermor for reasons listed before. I'm eyeing a Bostock trade. If I own Salmon, I'd probably trade him out. Bostock, I just think he's one where you know, the Dolphins were so bad last week. They've got to bounce back this week and be better. You know, Wayne Bennett will get a bit out of them, as he inevitably always does. If he can hold that spot on the wing, and he's far from locked into it, but he seems to have won over Wayne Bennett, tries will come at some point, and hopefully there's an influx of cash. He's not someone you'd want to be playing in your team at all, but I do think it'll come. So I'd probably hold Bostock over Salmon, who I think at any given week could drop to the bench for Josh Curran or Kurt Mann, even with decent minutes in the middle for the Dogs. I just don't think the output's there. So, look, it's a really tough one, but out of those, I'd be trading Salmon. I don't mind the Bostock play either. Question from Mitchy: is Kiraz a play, seeing he is in the centres, or is him Delomax the play? Hold off on Kiraz. Definitely give him another chance. The Doggies were pretty ordinary last week. He's got massive work rate. I just, you know, hopefully they can improve a little bit and show a bit more. Like every team, attacks are going to be a bit clunky. He based 39 last week from centre. The dude is an animal. So you throw in hopefully this week a few tackle busts, offloads, potentially a try assist, something like that. Definitely give him another week. Question from Ben. Morning, mate. If Trindle scores bad again, will you be looking at downgrading him to Galvin next week to free up cash and running two cheapy 5.8s? Or are there going to be bigger problems and spend trades elsewhere? If Trindle goes poorly against the Doggies, he will be out of my team in a flash. So, look, I was happy to look past last week. It was a gritty game over in New Zealand. He got 18, horrible. He was a player that I was never overly confident on anyway, but there were just so few genuine 5.8 options. You know, the way the round played out, a lot of people paid up for Dill Brown, 780K, I think Dill Brown is, and he got 54. So I'm like, in terms of that, no one else really stood out, 780K Brown. I quite like the look of Luke Brooks over in Vegas. He's a big watch for me. But yeah, if Trindle can't get the job done at Shark Park against the Doggies and score okay, then no reason to hold. So as I said, there's a big chance I'll be boosting next week, and Trindle will be a part of that to whoever the best looking 5.8 is at this stage around that mid-range tier. Probably Luke Brooks or Tommy Dearden, I'm thinking. Guys and girls, we are one full round into the NRL season, and I'm sure there are plenty of people out there, myself included, who had a bit of a punt on the weekend, lost too much money, woke up Monday morning a little bit concerned about it, not feeling right, deep down going, oh, I know I spent too much and bet outside of what I could afford. Guys, nothing to be ashamed of. There's plenty of people out there in the same boat. And there's also no shame at all in reaching out and getting a bit of help for it. The help is obviously available with Gareth White and his team at Seekal. Get in, get early. Don't wait 6 months to go, you know what, I've got a big problem with gambling. Might be a minor problem with gambling. Might be putting stress on the relationship just because the finances are taking a hit. You don't want to do it 6 months down the track when deep down you know that maybe there's a bit of an issue at the moment. So do it. Reach out to Gareth and his team. You can email him at gareth.w@ccal.org.au. That's Ccal spelled C-E-C-A-L. Give them a buzz on 02-9559-4013. Or probably the easiest way, if you're on Instagram, just direct message them at Ccal Gambling. And yeah, good luck if you are doing so and reaching out to Gareth. Question from James. What are your thoughts on Spencer Lenu down to Henry over at the Panthers and Piakura to Lomax via Benny Chaboyevich? Piakura has a tough draw and can easily get him back. I don't understand the Piakura trade. He got HIA early on. Like, again, you picked him for a reason. I think he's a terrific footballer. He has attacking upside. I've said it a million times across the preseason, but real Britain, early days, Britain Nicker vibes where the base wasn't quite there and he will be a little bit attack reliant, but he's in one of the best teams in the competition. He runs at Lachie Ilias tonight. You know, the HIA from Vegas drops out of his rolling average after one game. I just think there's, in a year where we look like we're maybe doing it a little bit tough for cash generation, sure, the cash gen with Piakura might take slightly longer now because of that one game in Vegas and the HIA. I can see him making 200K and happy days. The tough draw, mate, he's a forward. He'll get through his work. It's a gun team. He'll jab the odd attacking stat. I wouldn't do it. In terms of Henry over the Panthers, yeah, a bit of an eye catcher from round one. I know Guru's a big fan of him and has been for a while, Liam Henry. 238K. The big thing this week was that Scott Sorensen back in the team for the Panthers, and Henry held his spot on the bench. So 36 points in 34 minutes with 36 in base. Look, if he can be punching out 35-odd minutes per game and that sort of base, I don't mind him. I wouldn't be doing it this week. Let's see it play out. Make sure he holds his spot next week. They did get dusted and not score a point after all. Not entirely his fault, of course, with the attacking side of things. But, yeah, look, if he's rated high enough by Ivan Cleary and holds his spot, I think Farmer Silly to Henry could be a nice little trade next week if Henry looks on track to sort of make 100K. Question from Homer. Would you trade Sean Lane to Lomax for the upside? No, I would not. Lomax, for all the reasons I listed before. Sean Lane, like, he got his 80 minutes last week. Hopefully he does so again this week. He's coming. He was injury interrupted all last season, hence the cheap price. He's got attacking upside in, you know, Parramatta were good. So there's no reason why there won't be attack to come. You know, not the like the biggest base of all time for a back roll, but it's decent enough. It was only 39 last week, but the attacking upside, the base, the price, it's one game. Like, I don't, not for me. I don't like it. Question from Fish. If you had to go early on someone with only a one game sample size, who would you be most confident in? Eisenhuth, Fatala, Mariner, Curran, or Henry? Curran. So, I don't get the Eisenhuth and Fatala Mariner hype. Fatala Mariner's back to the bench. Eisenhuth starting at lock, but Luciano Leilua's named on the bench. Whether it's this week or next week, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Eisenhuth drop to the bench and Leilua start, whether that's on the edge, whether that's at lock, if they want to play him as a middle or an edge. I suspect it'll probably be edge, and the fact that Eisenhuth is playing lock suggests that they probably want to get him to an edge, Leilua. Just give it a week. Like, if Eisenhuth plays big minutes this week and then, say, Leilua starts next week and Eisenhuth retains a starting spot, they can always play, you know, like last week, DeBellin at prop and Eisenhuth at lock. Eisenhuth named on the edge this week, but he could start lock again this week. Wouldn't shock me. Just see how it all plays out, because it could be a massive, massive trap. I want to see the Leilua impact there. So, look, probably Josh Curran of those guys. Again, came on, played big minutes off the bench. I just think if you do want to go early on one of them, Curran could be starting at any point. You know, he did that off the bench. Granted, Fox went off, so he played a few extra minutes. But, you know, if Curran does land a starting spot or plays 50-60 straight off the bench, he looks a good one to me. Not someone I'd be going early on, but, yeah, that wasn't the question. So, Curran. Adrian Ives, my final reserve is on Strange. Is it worth VCing Nico for the loop, or do you have confidence he bounces back to go straight C? Yeah, I don't mind it. I think I do have confidence in Nico to bounce back. I think he's a fine straight C option. I mean, I think he's a great VC option, particularly if you do have someone that you can use for the loop. But no, I wouldn't have too many queries in, or concerns, I should say, if you do want to go straight C on Nico.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
There are 1,000 questions on front row forwards. Question from Greg Pronin. Thoughts on about to say Cristiano Ronaldo. Ronaldo Mulitalo as a pod. Next three games look juicy. Yeah. I'm so reluctant to give advice on the Sharks outside backs because I have no idea. Like, I said it time and time again, but they can score points across the entire park, whether it's through the middle, through Brayley, whether it's Nico swinging left or right, whether it's, you know, through Talakai Aramian, whichever winger. It's impossible to predict, and that's a credit to the Sharks that their attack is so balanced. They can score. You know, so many teams in the competition have their spots where they're so dominant. The Warriors right edge, Wutenis Lesniak in the corner. The Bunnies left edge, AJ in the corner. Knights left edge, Marju in the corner. The Sharks can do it anywhere. And we've seen this time and time again when we've brought Ronaldo into our team for soft Sharks runs. And, you know, they'll put a score on 40 on and he'll score like 17 points because the attack just goes all the other way. So, look, it is three good games to come, but they then have the bye in round five. I'm not that keen on it. You've also, like, defences are generally pretty tight early on in the season. So I like Mulitalo and Sharks players when soft runs come, middle to back end of the year, when, you know, they play some injury-impacted sides, a little bit depleted, and the Sharks, if they're humming, I think that's a better time. Don't let me talk you out of it because the draw is good. He looks great, Mulitalo, but not for me. Question from Corey. It is a sit-v start. Torpiki, Hutchinson, Bo Stock for my last spot in CT Dub as my playing CT Dub. Thanks. I would go with Torpiki. Last week he was awesome, had a ton of tackle busts, had like 17 or 18 runs. Obviously don't love the Melbourne matchup. I don't think there's a lot of creative stuff in Torpiki. Sorry, when I say that, ball playing. He's a tackle buster. He's electric with ball in hands, like running. So I just think he'll get off you a good sort of base and should score half all right. Hutcho, Bostock, less confident. Question from Nick. Hey, mate, long-time listener, first-time question asker. Good to have you on board, mate. What do you think of trading Dillbags out, Dylan Brown, that is, which will allow me to go Firmore to Holmes via Jules and Max King to Haas? We'll look at getting Dylan back in 3 weeks after some cows can be cashed in. So let me dissect this one. Look, in theory, it all looks fine. But I've had my thoughts on Firmore. Holmes has a one good game sample size, looked phenomenal. Max King played like 42 minutes last week. Surely that increases this week. My question to you is, who are you going Dylan Brown? Who comes in at 5'8"? I'm guessing you're putting Ethan Strange to 5'8". I don't know who your other 5'8 is, but I gather you're running very weak 5'8 combination, which becomes a concern. You've currently got the best 5'8 comfortably in Supercoach. Now, look, if you paid 780K for him, you're not going to be thrilled with him scoring 54 last week, but it's hardly bad. I mean, look, I'd trick you Chindle and you got me 18 points. Granted, about 300K cheaper. They've got a tough matchup this week, but, you know, I don't see like who the standout to go to is at 5'8", and I wouldn't be happy running Strange and whoever else you have at 5'8". So, look, I'd be reluctant, mate. I'd want to see the minutes of Max King. I want to see another week of Firmore. You know, Payne Haas is big, big money. Knocked out his standard 70 last week, which, happy days, whatever, if you own him. But, yeah, I'd be waiting on all of that. And a good follow-up on the Firmore stuff. Question from Nick. Was listening to your Teamless Tuesday pod, the SC Playbook pod, probably was. And as much as I'd love to hold Bo Firmore, like you said, he's my only ticket to get Taylor May. Have to do it right. Yep, sure. As I said, I strongly thought about selling Firmore. Potentially still will. I want to hold him, but said teams with solid sort of squads, you need to find someone to trade out. And if you're going to Taylor May, good move. All right, I'll get through one more question and go into my trades because it leads into it nicely. From Cam Richardson, hey, mate, what are your plans with Taumalolo? Normally I wouldn't do trades this week, but unfortunately I started with Lolo and Arrow. Arrow to May is the easy trade, but I'm unsure what to do with Lolo. His minutes just really annoyed me in round one. You and I both, Cam. So my trade plans for the week. What I'm thinking of is this. Vice captaincy on Nico Hines, and this isn't, you know, anything different to what I've said on podcast during the week. I have tweaked my plans a little bit, but VC on Nico Hines. if he can go big against the Bulldogs, it doesn't have to be huge. If he can go any probably 110 plus, I will loop him. I'll use Palacia in my starting team who's on the bye for the loop. And what I would do there is I could go Taumalolo straight to Terrell May. However, I'm tempted to save the two trades if that's the case. Play Taumalolo. While I'm not thrilled with him, you know, someone messaged me through and said they're at the game on the weekend and he was warming up on the sideline. He was on the bike. He was ready to go back on. But with the scoreline, as was said after the game in the post-match presser, they just didn't feel the need to put him back on with the scoreline in the game. So I don't feel great about holding Taumalolo, but I do feel that in this instance, if Nico can be utilised as a VC, or it'd be similar to your case if you're getting, you know, Arrow, you know, just anyone with Taumalolo who's got him. If you can save trades for this week, get a better look at all the front row forward options, who to move to. As you said, you're already going to have Terrell May anyway, who looks the standout by a mile. I'd be looking to hold. As I said, I don't feel great about it, but that's what I'm eyeing off at the moment and saving those trades. If Nico doesn't go well as vice-captain and I can't loop, I will be putting the captaincy on Tommy Trbojevic, I think. Don't obviously love the Roosters matchup, but gee, I love what I saw in Vegas. I've said it a few times, but I think Tommy, if he stays fit the whole year, can average 110, 120 plus. I really do. So yeah, looking at Tommy Turbo in that one, Kalen Ponga would be my next bet if I didn't go with Tommy, but that's what I'm looking at. So yeah, potentially zero trades this week. I really, really need Nico Hines to come out and go well as a VC tomorrow night. A little early season loop. Just to give myself another look at that front row forward position would be fantastic. If, you know, Nico doesn't and I end up skippering Tommy Trbojevic, I'm going to have to find a way to go to get Terrell May in, which is not overly difficult. But what I'd be looking at is Palacia to Terrell May, and I'd need about another 20K to afford that. So I'd be looking at going, probably dropping Jack Bostock down to Tommy Talau. Again, like, it's somewhat sideways, that one, but I don't mind it. Like, Bostock, while I said that I think he's a hold, and I do think he's a hold, he still only needs a few tries to sort of get going. But the Dolphins were pretty ordinary last week. So are they going to come? We know a lot of ball goes to Asako's edge. So, yeah, that's probably going to be the means to do it. That would mean I'd be giving Taumalolo one more week and finding a solution. If he stinks it up again, every chance he does, go to a front row forward from Taumalolo next week. I'm not confident on any of the replacements for Taumalolo outside of Terrell May. If I could do that straight one, Palacia to Terrell May would be great, but I can't quite do it. So that's where I'm at. In terms of my sit-v starts for the week, I have to play Jesse Arthurs in my CT dub tonight, which I don't hate because he's going at the really leaky right edge of the Bunnies tonight. Ilias, Talis Duncan could be on there unless they move Kalama Tungi back over. Isaiah Tass and then Jacob Gagai. Although there's a bit of word that Gagai could drop out and Tane Milne is coming in. Apparently Gagai trained with New South Wales Cup this week, so I think Gagai's about the seventh most traded in play this week. If that's one of you, keep an eye on the final team sheet. Obviously, that will be dropping across the SC Playbook socials, but we've also got all the late mail in the SC Playbook WhatsApp group. For anyone who does want to subscribe, you can do so via the SC Playbook website in the menu and sort it out from there. So, yeah, looking at playing Jesse Arthurs, obviously my CT dub, Tuivasa Sheck, Taylan May, Benny Trbojevic. My bench would be, my 2RF, Sean Lane, Peter Kura, Smithies. My bench would be Ponga, Tabuai Fido, playing in the final game of the round, Hammer, so no need to start him as such in my CT dub this week. Cleary and Helam Lukey. Bo Fermor is my other sort of decent, like, quality enough player on the bench, but obviously on the bye this week. Joe Chan last week based like 18 or something in 65 minutes. I've never seen anything like it, to be honest. So hopefully he ups that this week, but I shan't be playing him in the meantime. So that's how the Stallions are looking. Guys, we'll wrap it up for this week's question and answer podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Have a ripping weekend. Go the Raiders.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.